This podcast is brought to you by Howie's Store. Save 50% on restaurants, hotels, and more. To order, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store. Enjoy the podcast.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
The Inspector General released a survey of more than 300 hospitals across the country, and the number one complaint from those hospitals were severe shortages of testing supplies.
Well, where did he come from, the Inspector General? What's his name?
It came from the Inspector General.
No, what's his name?
I don't know his name.
If you find me his name, I'd appreciate it.
Question of the Inspector General, and by the way, her name was Christy Grimm.
When was she appointed?
I'll check.
No, let me know now. I have to know now, John.
She was appointed in January of this year.
A few moments later.
Did serve in the previous administration.
Oh, you didn't tell me that. Oh, I see. You didn't tell me that. Did serve in the previous administration. You mean the Obama administration. Thank you for telling me that. See, there's a typical fake news deal.
You asked me when she was appointed. I told you when she was appointed.
You're a third-rate reporter, and what you just said is a disgrace. Thank you very much, John. Thank you very much. You will never make it.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
It's incredibly frustrating, I think, for a lot of people watching this, and the way the president is using this and hijacking this coronavirus task force briefing every day.
And as a viewer, it makes me really enervated. It really makes me anxious. This is not helping. Not helping.
Not helping.
Forgive me, sir, but I beg to differ.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
So I believe that even though we should believe women, but that does not mean at the expense of not giving men their due process.
If these women, Julie Swetnick as well, if they were all lying, why is he not maybe threatening with a claim of defamation?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
That's the same Alyssa Milano who sat behind Brett Kavanaugh at his confirmation hearings when he was answering the baseless, groundless, fabricated charges against him. And now there is a credible accusation of sexual assault against her boy, her man, her grandpa, Joe Biden. And nothing to see here, folks. Move along. That's what she says. Meanwhile, after John Carl was dressed down by the president yesterday, he was the idiot of the day. Someone suggested we should have an idiot of the day contest here at the Howie Carr Show. Who will make the
I've already biggest, got enough work to do every day. I don't need who an will idiot make of the day.
No, we could just. It doesn't have to be a formal thing, but you know, did somebody particularly stand out yesterday? I think it would be John Carl would be yesterday. But you know, again, for John Carl, he's got some new unreadable book coming out. He wants to sell 15 copies, and then he would have more sales than Jim Acosta did for his unreadable book. So as soon as he was dressed down by the president, I'm sure he just ran outside of the briefing room and pulled out his smartphone and checked out if he had got how many books he had sold on Amazon, what his ranking was on Amazon. How much did I go down on the Amazon list? Can my agency, if I can get booked on Don Limon or maybe Steffi will have me on Good Morning America tomorrow. I'll be so excited. Oh, they're so courageous, you know. They are just so courageous having to be called a third-rate reporter. Okay, time now for the Chump Line.
If the president has to wear a mask for his pressers, he should put on a Barack Obama mask.
That's a good suggestion. That would really drive them crazy. You think they were bad last night? They were, clutching their pearls and getting the vapors and rending their sackcloth and ashes. That would be the ultimate for them.
Howie, you are so right.
I don't watch recorded sports with one exception. I can watch Bobby Orr beating up Peter Mihovlik of the Canadians all day long, baby.
Well, I mean, how often are you going to see that? They can't play that on ESPN every night. Bruce from the Mets says the only ones he watches are the games of himself pitching that his mother recorded. I must say, though, I think the last recorded sporting event that I watched was when Bing Crosby owned a piece of the Pittsburgh Pirates, the 1960 World Series. And so there was no DVRs or anything like that or ESPN back in 1960. So he was out for the seventh game, and he just put a camera in front of the TV set and recorded it. And I guess ESPN got a copy of it many, many years later. And they had it with all the advertisements, you know, all the old beer commercials and the cigarette commercials. That was really cool. I would watch that again. The Pittsburgh Pirates, New York Yankees, seventh game of the World Series at, I think it was, Forbes Field in Pittsburgh. Great stuff. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, who are still making wicked awesome windows. They've lived through cholera, typhoid, measles twice, Spanish and Asian flus, diphtheria, polio, whooping cough, bird and swine flus, Ebola, Zika, and now COVID. We as a nation will defeat this. Stay well, stay safe, and stay positive.
This just in from CNN. Skydiver who forgot parachute before jumping from plane dies of coronavirus.
Trump, one more line. Trump blamed.
Now that Joe Biden and Trump have had their calm, maybe Trump should implement some of Joe's ideas. I'm not sure if he should implement the ones that Joe can barely remember or the ones he can only vaguely articulate.
Go ahead.
I'm going to ask my mom if that offer to slap me into next year is still on the table.
Oh, by the way, Matthews Brothers is joining us in sponsoring ER Eats. That's we're trying to raise money to give to hospitals to provide for food for their emergency room and their hospital personnel during this time of crisis. You can donate. We're not taking any money off the top or anything. Just go to HowieCarshow.com and click on ER Eats, and you can donate whatever you want. And we're trying to get hospitals involved in this. If you got a hospital that wants to get involved with it and get some money for the staff to buy meals for them, you can go to our email address, which is ereats@howiecarshow.com, ereats@howiecarshow.com. Give money or get your hospital involved, and we're going to try to get some of our restaurants involved too, but that's going to be up to the hospitals.
If Joe Biden were in high school, he'd take this virus out behind the gym and beat the hell out of it.
That's the only thing he hasn't said. He probably has been thinking of it. But now we know. People have asked me, does Joe always just ask for tapioca pudding? Well, we found out today in his, I guess, podcast or whatever it was with the governor of Michigan that he also likes Fig Newtons. Fig Newtons and tapioca doesn't seem to go very well to me, but what do I know?
Howie, Joe Biden calling. Come on, man. Of course we can have a virtual convention. The fact is, my friends Douglas Fairbanks and Mary Pickford are going to teach us how to film it. And if we send out big drones to everyone, it'll be a talkie. I mean it.
Douglas Fairbanks. Joe knew him personally. He knew his kid, Douglas Fairbanks Jr., a young whippersnapper.
Hey, Anderson, you know what's not frustrating? Winning. I'm still not tired of it.
Yes, Anderson Cooper is very frustrated. Let's hear that cut again. Anderson Cooper from CNN. Cut two.
It's incredibly frustrating, I think, for a lot of people watching this. The way the president is using this and hijacking this coronavirus task force briefing every day.
Not only is it very amusing the way he is quote-unquote hijacking his own press conference, it's even more amusing to watch you guys whining and moaning. Didn't you ever get the memo? Self-pity is not good box office. Maybe that's why your ratings are so low, lower than whale excrement.
Nancy and Chuck are the masters of gloom. When the corona hit, they danced around the room, and they knew just what to do, which was make sure this spells Trump's doom.
Yeah, we've got a cut from Ted Cruz last night. He was just pointing out exactly what Limerick Guy was saying, which is that the media is gleeful. They're so excited when the death toll goes up. I mean, they could claim they're not, but you can just tell it in their voices. And you know, when it looks like the so-called curve is flattening, to use the cliche of the month, they get disappointed. You could tell it from the way they're speaking.
Howie, Senator Byrd calling. Now that we can wear masks in public, can I wear my hood? Bob Merrick.
Yeah, that was a tough call for Governor Northam in Virginia. You know, that was he going to put on the blackface mask or was he going to put on the hood? See, it was tough. It was he flipped the coin and he put on the blackface mask. And then the NBC affiliate ran the tweeted out a picture of it. And then a few minutes later, they removed it. And they said, oh, incidentally, too, the mask wasn't black. It was dark green. Whatever you say, network of Chuck Todd and Mike Barnicle and Mika Brzezinski and Joy Reid and Al Sharpton.
Yeah, Howie, those left-wingers you mentioned who are actually trying to go viral, I say more power to them.
I think he's using viral in a different term. It's kind of an unfortunate term given what we're dealing with here, but so be it.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message at any hour of the day or night, including weekends. The Chump Line number, if you'd like to leave such a message, 844-500-4242, 844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time. Each weekday, the Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, who are still making wicked awesome windows. They've lived through cholera, typhoid, measles twice, Spanish and Asian flus, diphtheria, polio, whooping cough, bird and swine flus, Ebola, Zika, and now COVID. We as a nation will defeat this. Stay well, stay safe, and stay positive.
If Joe Biden were in high school, he'd take this virus out behind the gym and beat the hell out of it.
He might even enlist the aid of Corn Pop. I'm Howie Carr.
You're tuned into the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is John in the People's Republic of Amherst, Massachusetts.
This is Heather from Litchfield, Maine.
This is Kent, Wichita, Kansas, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242. With all the uncertainty in the world, feeling safe at home has never been more important. That's why you need Simply Safe Home Security for just 50 cents a day. Head to simplysafehowie.com and get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Should President Trump wear a mask during his press conferences?
No, and he shouldn't use a gun either.
A gun?
A gun, like a bank robber.
Oh, okay.
No notes either.
I was going to say, yeah, some days he's really mad at the press, but not that mad. 92% say no, he shouldn't wear a mask.
All right, 844-500-4242. So the state government is telling you got to stay inside. The mayor says you should be wearing a mask. You can't play golf anymore. You got to stay apart from everybody, social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. They're telling you how to live, basically, the state government, the people on Beacon Hill at the State House. So today, they were supposed to have a roundtable at the State House on the budgetary impact of coronavirus. Not, of course, that they're going to be any layoffs because they don't want to get rid of their hack relatives and friends and girlfriends and boyfriends, et cetera, et cetera. So they were going to have a round table. Let me just read you the story in the Herald today after it was just posted. An attempt by the state legislature to get a grip on just how dire the consequences of the coronavirus will be on the state budget was stymied by technical difficulties on Tuesday when officials failed to get a live stream working. They want to tell you how to live and they can't get a live stream working. They can't get a conference call going, basically. The state budget roundtable that will offer a first look of what's expected to be a colossal collapse in state revenues was postponed until at least next Tuesday. Today is Tuesday. It's going to take them a week to get the live stream working, apparently. After officials failed to get the live stream technology rolling nearly a half hour after the meeting scheduled 10 a.m. start time. Sorry, folks, House Ways and Means Chairman Aaron Miklowitz tweeted. He used to work for Sal DeMacy, who went to prison for extortion. Then he became a state rep himself. That's the tradition. And now he runs the budget for unindicted. He used to work for indicted co-conspirator Sal DeMacy. Now he's the budget chairman for unindicted co-conspirator Bob DeLeo. Sorry, folks, technical difficulties as we couldn't get the website to live stream here from room 428. Felt it was important for the public to see this in real time. You mean unlike the SJC hearing on letting the prisoners go, or unlike giving the lifetime hack job for $155,000 to the state rep's wife when at the shuttered courthouse? Oh, my goodness. It was an embarrassing snafu for the legislature as it starts to sort out how to conduct business remotely in a time when people are discouraged from congregating in tightly packed state house chambers in the interest of social distancing. You know what's even more embarrassing? That they can't get their act together. And they're telling us how to live. And yet they can't even set up something that your average middle school does do. On a daily, if not weekly, basis.
But all Howie, right. We should all be voting from home. Let's do virtual voting. What could possibly go wrong?
Right. I mean, how many people were they going to... Last 2 weeks ago, when they appointed this state rep's wife to the $155,000 lifetime job, they wouldn't even let a Herald reporter get in on the conference call. They were. That's how the governor's council was having a meeting. There were with only like eight or nine people, eight governor's counselors, the lieutenant governor, maybe the clerk. So the Herald asked, can we have a reporter in on the call just to listen in? Because we're going to do a story about this hackerama out of control during a pandemic. No, we can't do it. And then, of course, they couldn't set up anything for the SJC hearing last Friday. It gives you great confidence, doesn't it? Great confidence. They could tell you how to conduct your lives because they're so together themselves. The hacks. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
844-500-4242. As you know, with the coronavirus pandemic, a number of Americans have been stranded in foreign countries, and it's been very difficult to get them home. I think one of the last people to leave Peru was the starting quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. A lot of people haven't been as lucky as he was. And the State Department has been trying to get these Americans out of wherever they are and get them back home. And the State Department has been trying to work on this with the various foreign governments. And joining us now on the line is Morgan Ortegas. She's the spokesperson for the State Department to discuss these efforts to get stranded Americans back home. Morgan, thanks for being with us here on the Howie Carr Show.
Great. Thank you very much. It's so nice to be. I think this is my first time being on with you, so thanks for having me.
Thank you. How many Americans are still in foreign countries trying to get back home?
So we have about 20 to 25,000 left. As of today, we have repatriated over 46,000 Americans from 81 countries. That's 390 flights. This is all since the end of January when we started evacuating Americans out of Wuhan, China. And this also includes Americans that we're bringing back from cruise ships as well. So it has been a massive, massive effort that Secretary Pompeo has had to undertake. We've never seen anything like this before at the State Department, because typically if you have to evacuate Americans or repatriate Americans back home, a particular country has a natural disaster, hurricane, tsunami, what have you, or perhaps there's violence in a region. We've never had a situation at the State Department where we have to bring Americans home from around the world all at the same time in an emergency environment like this. So it's been a massive undertaking, but Secretary Pompeo has led the team, and we're getting Americans home now, over 46,000.
So how many more are coming home a day on average at this point? And what countries are they mainly stuck in right now?
It's still all over the world. The major pockets are in Latin America, and obviously close to the United States, in our hemisphere, we've had a lot of people traveling there. And then we also still have quite a bit of Americans left in South Central Asia, India and Pakistan, places like that. So what's really important for any of your listeners who may have family or friends that are overseas, we're really encouraging people, please don't wait. If you want to come home, you must register at step.state.gov. Again, that is step.state.gov. That's how we know that you're an American citizen who wants to come home, and we will help you get home.
Don't you think most people have already registered long since and are just trying? How do they get out? Are there flights still coming in, or is the State Department running individual planes in there to take out groups of American citizens?
Yep. So it depends on where you are in the world. If you're in Europe, for example, there's still flights running, so we don't really have to repatriate that many people from that region. The challenge comes in where we have many countries around the world that have, of course, shut down their airports, shut down airlines from flying in and out. So when we have that situation, we have to work with American carriers to see if we can get them in there. A lot of times we will have to charter the airplane to get them home. And then in extraordinary cases, we also work with the U.S. military to get people home as well.
And how many of the people that you've gotten back 46,000, have there been any tests done on them before they left the foreign countries? Do we know how many of them tested positive for this, for coronavirus?
Yeah, so all of that would be under the control of the CDC and HHS. They're responsible for the health aspect. I would just say that, you know, since we've been doing this since the end of January when we started bringing people home from Wuhan, and we try to work with the CDC to put every measure in place that we can for someone, for all of these people who may have been exposed, they've been traveling, or if someone obviously tests positive for the virus. You know, nothing that we do is without risk, but obviously American citizens have the right to come home. And at the State Department, we're going to do everything we can to help get them home.
I've read a number of different stories that say that Chinese nationals are still getting into the country, even though there's been a travel ban since the end of January. Is that true, or how many have gotten into the country?
You know, someone just mentioned that to me earlier today, that story, and I need to look into it. DHS, Department of Homeland Security, is actually the one in charge of allowing people to come in. We at the State Department, we will issue a visa, but DHS is the one who implements people, you know, actually crossing over the border and getting into the country. I'm sure that that will be addressed soon at the White House task force.
Are all these countries cooperative, or are some of them trying to, well, for lack of a better term, shake down the United States government as they so often do in these kinds of situations? Before we can get our own people out.
Yeah. That's a great question. It depends on the government. You know, we were pretty transparent that early on in Peru, for example, we were having a lot of difficulties with the government in Peru, and probably a lot of that is just related to, you know, the global pandemic being upon a government, and then they're having to make a lot of emergency decisions that perhaps weren't in the most organized fashion. And so we were pretty open about that. I mean, we try as much as possible to get all of these things resolved, you know, behind the scenes with countries and to do what we can to get Americans home. And so for the most part, we've had pretty good cooperation.
Tell us about Aaron Rodgers. I haven't followed it that closely. I just read the headlines. What was he doing down there, and how did he get out?
You know, I don't know much about that particular story, so I'm sorry, I don't have details on that one.
All right. So are there anybody else we know who's stuck overseas, that any famous people that you can identify? I haven't actually, now that I think about it, I haven't heard anybody tweeting, I'm a D-list celebrity and I'm stuck in Guatemala or something. I haven't seen any of that.
You know what we have had, which has been great, is we've had a lot of like average everyday Americans telling their stories about how the government has gone just to great lengths to make sure they get home. You know, it's just really heartwarming when the Secretary Mike Pompeo talked about this from our podium this morning at the State Department, but when you hear Americans, you know, write letters, write notes of thank you to us for helping them get home, and they say things like, you know, I'm reminded now why I'm so proud to be an American. You don't have countries, you know, a lot of countries care for their people, but I don't think that there's anybody quite like the United States government to the lengths that we'll go to keep our citizens safe and secure and to bring everybody back.
So, you know, not counting military or government personnel, or how many Americans do you think were outside the borders of the U.S. when this whole thing started? You're down to 20 or 25,000 now, but how many were there to begin with?
Well, so we've repatriated 46,000, you know, plus the 20-25 left. Now, keep in mind, there's definitely still Americans overseas that are not interested in being repatriated. So this is just the population of Americans that have raised their hand, that have signed up for step.state.gov and said, yes, we need help getting back. There are no commercial options available for us in whatever country they're in.
What can people do if they've lost track of a relative and they'd like to know what their status is in a foreign country? Is there a place they can go to find that out, or is that considered private, confidential information?
Well, so the best thing for anyone to do is to check in at the local U.S. embassy for whatever country they're in. And every country will have a U.S. embassy, and then depending on how big the country is, we'll have consulates as well. The consulates may be closer to where their relative is. All of the contact information is on the website of each embassy and consulate, so you can get directly to people in what we call consular affairs. So when you're looking on these pages, you'll want to look for the consular affairs team, and those are the people that are dealing with American citizens.
Consular affairs from the country where your relative or your friend
right.
is.
That's right. Right. So if your friend is in Peru, you'll want to go to U.S. Embassy Lima and look at the consular affairs page there, and you can inquire.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm glad you're getting Americans back, and I'm glad it's working out, and I'm glad that we're not being shaken down this time around, at least not as much as normal. All right.
That's right.
All right. Morgan Ortegas, State Department spokesperson, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. Thank you. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
You're listening to the Howie Carr Radio Network.
Hi, this is Cindy from Austeville, Massachusetts.
This is Brett Rock from Dunstable, Massachusetts.
This is Amy in Lisbon Falls, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
844-500-4242 if you want to make a contribution to our new fund, ER Eats, Emergency Room Eats. We're donating all the money that we get. We're involved. Matthews Brothers is involved. We've donated 1,000. Matthews Brothers has as well. And just donate whatever you can. We're going to give the money to hospitals that get involved with us and let them buy restaurant food for their employees. You know, people say, well, you know, I used to work at a hospital and we got to eat free at the cafeteria. Well, a lot of these hospital cafeterias, my understanding is they're shut down now, that they have people just have to go to the canteen. And you know what it's like at a canteen. You get kind of tired of that food coming out of the machine. And so this is a way to thank people. Go to HowieCarshow.com, and it's right at the top of the banner, ER Eats. And if you want to get your hospital involved in this to get some of the money from ER Eats, go to ereats@howiecarshow.com. But we appreciate your contributions. 100% of the money will go right to the hospitals themselves. And also, we have a cheap bastard deal this day. DJ's Famous Wings, that's in Falmouth and Hyannis. They've been around for 32 years, and it's a pickup delivery. It started as a pickup delivery restaurant, and that's what it is now. They're doing safe curbside pickup, interior pickup, no contact delivery. You can get a $50 gift certificate for $25 right now, and they're open Saturday through Thursday, 11 to 8, and I guess Saturdays or Sundays from 12 to 9. But they're open. They're open all the time, and they have two locations down on the Cape. You can get a $50 certificate for $25. Right now, there are a few left. Not many, but a few left. 844 and HowieCarshow.com. Click on store, and you can see the deal there. DJ's Wings. Rob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, Howie. Thanks for doing such a great service for us. Yeah, I just wanted to laugh at how many different ways people are using the current health situation to attack the Constitution. On April 2nd, one of your sponsors, Cape Gunworks, received an email from the Massachusetts State Police. No, excuse me, it was written notice that all state firearms certification courses are to be put on hold, both virtual and in person.
I know. How is it a danger to anybody to be doing a virtual course, right? Should the state legislature couldn't get it together today to have a roundtable discussion on what they're going to do? But I don't think anybody was in danger if they'd set up the roundtable discussion, right? Teleconferencing. How ridiculous is this? So why should Cape Gunworks or any other gun company shop be shut down?
Completely illegal. What they're doing, they don't. What actually gives them the authority to shut down classes? The class is not the license itself. It's a class. It's a prerequisite. How can you shut down a class that they have no control over?
My understanding, Rob, is that there's a particularly loudmouth liberal in Cambridge who was complaining about these even these virtual classes taking place, and she complained loudly to the powers that be on Beacon Hill, and they reacted to that and shut down everything. And how can the gun shops be open for local police departments but not for the citizenry? I don't understand that. Isn't that a blatant, flagrant violation of the Second Amendment?
Well, there's other roadblocks that are in place because although the supermarkets are staffed and many of the small stores for necessities, the police department, the department within the police department that does the paperwork on applications is also closed, which
right.
kind of blows
it's like,
my mind.
Yeah, too. I mean, the candidates for office are having the same problem. You know, even if they can get a handful of signatures here and there in this, in this time of social distancing, the town halls, the city halls are all shut down. So they can't, and the state legislature's refusing to do anything about that. They've shut down the golf courses. And they've shut down Cape Gunworks. They're very proud of themselves. They're patting themselves on the back, Rob. Thanks for the call. Linda, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Linda.
Thank you, Howie, for taking my call. I really appreciate it. You know, I fired off a couple of emails today and yesterday to Charlie Baker. And, of course, I've yet to hear anything from him. And believe me, I'm not going to hold my breath until I do, because I think I would pass out. This idiot... has closed down. Now, I've got three large dogs, two Goldens, two golden retrievers and a mixed breed, that I love to hike up in Lynn Woods 5 to 6 days a week with them. And we always take a secondary trail, always, because I'm allowed to take them off-leash up there per the ranger, as long as I keep to a secondary trail. And believe me, Howie, when I hike up there, no matter what time of the day or year it is, or the season, we maybe see maybe one or two people on these trails. That's it. Charlie Baker now has shut down both entrances to Lynn Woods, and today, I was lucky yesterday, I drove right up to the gate. I was able to park on a side street and get the dogs inside. Today, you can't even drive up the street because even the streets are blocked with signage saying resident parking only.
What can I tell you, Linda? I mean, this is the way they're operating. And again, these are the same people who can't even put on a teleconference. They can't even have a roundtable teleconference. They can't set up the technology, but they can stop you from walking your dogs in Lynn. Thanks for the call, Linda. I wish I could tell you something else. I have no answer. It's just, I don't blame you for being disturbed about this. Bob, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Bob.
Howie, I have a great story for you. Yesterday, I heard that you couldn't get a mask, right?
Yeah.
So I made a mask out of paper towels and elastic. So on the front of it, I wrote on it, against my wife's wishes, Trump 2020. So I went to the supermarket, I went to the post office, and all I got from people were thumbs up, how do I get one, beautiful, we love it, great. I mean, it's like, we know Trump's going to get reelected. That's what I feel.
I hope you're right, Bob. I remember last summer going to the Whole Foods in Wellesley. I don't usually go to the Whole Foods, but I just needed a couple of items. And I saw a guy in front of me, an older guy, and he was wearing a Trump 2020 hat. And I said, how's this guy going to hold out in the Whole Foods in Wellesley? He did fine. He was getting smiles and thumbs up just like you, Bob. Thanks for the call. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.